we're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots. Well, truth's coming out about you and Fauci. How's it feel to kill more people than Hitler?
You're writing some folk songs about it?
Go ahead.
You're writing some folk songs?
You'll never get away with what you did, your bioweapon. You're in a lot of trouble. Nuremberg 2 is coming.
What a character. Old Alex Jones there. I like the initial moment where he's like, oh, hello, would you like an autograph or perhaps a tablet or a booster shot? And, oh, no, it's Alex Jones. This is a nightmare.
Do you know Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI? He's always kind of said, I'm not doing this for money. I don't make any money. And they just busted him in a $4 million Koenigsegg. See if you can find that car. Oh, I don't need money. But me, money? I'm not even interested in money. He's driving around a $4 million Koenigsegg. There he is. Hi, busted.
Hey, bro.
I think you like money. You have a $4 million car, and you're involved in artificial intelligence. Like, you don't buy one of those unless you really want to get rich.
Yeah.
DrJonesNaturals.com. They ship within a day your order coming in, unless you order on Sunday. They've got all the great products, like the super organic multivitamin and the fiber greens and the iodine. And the nano silver toothpaste and the wound gel and the immune gargle and the rocket rest and the top brain and the kava chill and the turmeric toothpaste and just it's and the tooth whitening with no fluoride with all the essential oils. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. And my dad will be a sponsor, whatever happens to InfoWars. That is something separate from this operation. So it's great products. You should get anyways. But if you support us and you like what we're doing and you want to keep us on the air and be in the center of the fight, when the globalists, the Democrats, and the CIA and the deep state, above all, want us off the air, well, ladies and gentlemen, then you should support our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, drjonesnaturals.com.
I made a video the other day asking people, when was the moment?
The British are coming. The British are coming.
Now the ride of Paul Revere set the nation on its ear. And the shock at Lexington heard round the world. When the British fired in the early dawn, the War of Independence had begun. The die was cast, the rebel flag unfurled. And on to Concord marched the foe to seize the arsenal there, you know. Waking folks, searching all around. Till our militia stopped them in their tracks. At the old North Bridge, we turned them back and chased those redcoats back to Boston town. And the shout heard round the world was the start of the revolution. The men and women were ready on the move. Take your powder, take your gun, report to General Washington. Hurry, men, there's not an hour to lose.
It happened that they had planned, if the British was ever to come over here, that they'd put a light up in this high church steeple. And Paul went down there to look. And sure enough, there was the light, burning brighter than day. Well, Paul, he jumped on his old horse and he lit out. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew he had to go somewhere. Oh, I wish you could have seen it. That old horse with his ears laid back and his nostrils wide open, sucking in wind like a jet engine, feet pounding on them cobblestones, striking off sparks. Paul holding on for dear life and hollering at the top of his lungs. He says, the British is coming, the British is coming. Get you a gun, we gonna have us a revolution. And them farmers come a-piling out of the hay like bees out of a beehive. Minutemen, they's called.
What's Minutemen?
Minutemen? There's fellas that had to be ready at a minute's notice. And when Paul comes screeching down the road that way, they grabbed their guns and hid out behind the weeds and walls and trees and everywhere. And when the British come a-prancing along, all dressed up in their red suits, they let them have it. It was a sight to see. And then it happened.
They fired the gun.
They fired the gun. And the shot was so loud, it was heard clear around the world.
Oh, get out.
It's fact. That's the way this country started.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Well, he's a number one New York Times best-selling author, the operator firing the shot that kills Osama bin Laden, and many years as a SEAL team warrior. Robert O'Neill is here with us. You can find his book everywhere. You can find his website as well at robertjoneill.com and on X at MC Hooray. And so be sure and check all of that out. Well, I'm glad you're here. It was great having you on via a video link a few months ago. So much has happened. They just tried to kill Trump, and you said you had a lot of suspicions and concern as a well-trained sniper. We'll obviously get into that today. We'll get into the Cheney family and why we went to war. You've also got a lawsuit, but can't get too much of that. Also, you've got a different view than me on Building 7. I want to hear that and so much more with Robert J. O'Neill. But first off, you know, as a father, as a patriot, just in general, you've talked about on the show, but also I've seen on other shows, your awakening or the process of seeing things from so many angles, where you're at about the state of the U.S. government right now and not being as trusting as you once were. So just spend a few minutes because you're a polite guy, but you know, host a while and just give us your overall view. And let's say you had 5-10 minutes to talk to, you know, 10 million people, what you'd say to them.
Well, first of all, thanks, Alex, for having me. It's great to be here in the studio. I'm concerned now because I've just had my fourth daughter. She's 7 months old. And so that's four little girls that are growing up in this country. And I'm a big believer in, like, do what you want as an adult. But as I see what's happening in this country, everything's being taken away from. Like, I don't want to send my youngest daughter to a place where they're gonna tell her she might just be wrong. She might be a boy. She might do whatever. And I don't need the government coming forward and telling me I can or can't raise my child.
The system purposely trying to mislead the little ones that was Jesus's big beef.
Yeah, well, I mean, I live in New York too, and you know, it's a big liberal place, and I'm a big believer in do what you want, but I will not stand by and watch. I'm not sending my daughter to school. I'm not sending her to a public school. I might send her to a Catholic private school, but I'm going to homeschool her myself, simply because I really believe that the nuclear family is what makes the country great, and it doesn't need. I don't need some elected official to come in and tell you that you're doing it wrong or you're doing it right. They shouldn't be a part of it anyway. So that's kind of why, you know, I'm raising my voice for just the simplicity of school. Like there's absolutely no reason that the school system or the teachers' unions or the government or anybody should come in and tell us that we're useful idiots and we're going to raise your family that way.
That's a better question for me to ask, because I gave you a long babble and you're giving a great answer, even though it was probably hard to understand. You weren't really being political, because obviously you're famous for many years and I've seen you all over the place, until I would say the last however many years it's been. What triggered you to really get active in that? And I think you're saying they're coming for the kids.
They're coming for the kids. And so my three older daughters, I've got one who's in art school, one who's in public college, and then one who's in a private school. And it's like I joke with them, like I've got my artist, my communist, and my Catholic. And it was a joke at first, but now it's like, you know what? No, I don't need the government coming in and telling us what we can or can't do. And it's just, and just the way
that. And maybe the new baby's triggered you.
Well, the new baby, yeah. The new baby, I'm going to raise her the way I want to. But I mean, even simply being at home with her watching her deal with her parents as opposed to dealing with a babysitter or daycare. Like my new daughter is just happy to be happy. And that's what I want. That's what we all should do. And I think a lot of the problems with this country is even the feminists, like they want to go out and get jobs, but they want to which is fine, but they want to put their family secondary.
They act like children isn't the ultimate mission.
It should be. And that's what makes the country great is the nuclear family, a father and a mother at home. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. But I hate, like, my daughter at home, she doesn't get sad because we bring her to daycare. And I don't want to do that. I want to raise her as an American, as an adult, as a dad. And I think that everyone should be able to do that. And bringing them to a public school just to teach them that just because you're having a bad day with acne or whatever, you might just be a boy. Not a chance in hell. If my daughter comes to me and says, hey, I think I'm a boy, I'm like, no, actually, no, you're not. You're a girl, and that's it. Like, we're not going to have that conversation. And even here in Texas, where the government comes in and says, well, we're going to take your kid from you and move him to California, that's nonsense. And the government shouldn't be able to do that. And it kind of upsets me that the government can just come in here and say, well, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to raise your kids, and just line them up when the bell goes off. Get in line. Be good. Don't go against the government, which is nonsense.
I know you're an informed guy, but people that may not know, the Tavistock Institute in the 60s developed the plan. Dr. Michael Kaufman got the documents that were internal. It's actually in one of the expanded endgames we put out. I think it's endgame 2.0. But in that, we show the documents. In the 70s, they said, we're going to have images of strong men being bad. All the father figures will be idiots. And anybody that's watched TV goes, every father figure is basically an idiot in all the modern stuff since the 80s. And we're going to break up the nuclear family because we want to be able to control everybody and basically brainwash people. And the family's the key institution. So this has been a public operation. And the Tavistock Institute, MI6, deployed this in universities in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then made it about, oh, trans people are committing suicide at a higher rate. We've got to empower them. But really, it's them going and brainwashing kids, mainly autistic, telling them they're this new identity, and a kid wants to role play. The state secretly comes in, forms a relationship. This is all over the world now. These big foundations come in and then fast track them to be medicalized and to be sterilized either chemically or with surgery. And it destroys parental rights. So they're going right to the end game. You talk about Texas cases you just mentioned, mm-hmm. where they take the little boy who doesn't even want to be a girl, but say he is. And then the court sides to do that as if it's some right. They turn a horrible mind control operation that's literally out of the bowels of MK Ultra style things and do this. So I attack it. Almost no one does this. They're doing it more, but I've been attacking it for 15 years as it being a depopulation operation. And I think that's the key for people, instead of debating how moral it is and let's love these kids, that this is a larger scientific operation.
I think that's nonsense. And I think the way that it comes in is when the government gets involved, especially with NGOs. I think the way that it started, NGOs came in and initially started off with gay marriage, which is great. If you're an adult, you want to marry a dude, you're a dude, fine, whatever. But they came in with all this money, and all of a sudden, gay marriage is there. Cool. They didn't say, well, I guess we're done with that. Then they went on to trans, because there's so many donors, there's so much stuff coming in that they're not just going to say, okay, we're done with that. Then they move on to the trans, so they move on to everything else.
It's a business plan.
All you got to do is follow the money. And I know we hear that all the time, but it's
we've seen the heads of medical schools saying, we're going to make $30,000 per kid just with the surgeries.
No, it's because somebody is making money off the vaccines. They're making money off whatever nonsense they're trying to pull. And they're never going to not say, okay, we're just done. They're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And again, if you're 18 and up and you're an adult, do what you want. But once they start coming for the kids, and that's all they're doing, because the communists told us a long, long time ago, they're going to come for the kids. They're going to come for the school. They're going to come for the entertainment. They're going to come for the media. And they've taken all of it. I mean, even back in the day when you talk about McCarthyism, McCarthy was right. Alger Hiss was in.
Dead on.
He was there. And you can't even say that right now. And it's frustrating for me because, like I said, I homeschool my kids. I just talked to Emma, my daughter, who's 21 years old. I talked to her just today, and she's in college. And I'm telling her, you got to watch out for what's happening. And don't let, look, you're in college. Don't, just because you're listening to someone in a room, he or she listened to someone else in a room who is, I've been to 70 countries. I've been in 400 combat missions. I've been overseas. These people have not, but they've heard what these communists tell them over and over and over again. And that's the nonsense. And and you know what's crazy is they've told us straight up, here's what we're doing to your kids. Get some. So guys like me,
that's your line in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done with this nonsense. I'm tired of Just the way that the deep state's trying to raise our kids is nonsense.
Well, it's the end game is depopulation. That's the official plan of the WEF that is a spokes group, the mouthpiece of the big banks. They say by 2047, there'll be no more humans. That's NBC News, by the way, that they want us to be cyborgs. But they've got to poison us with chemicals and all of this to where we're so sick we have to become all medicalized. Then they've captured the whole civilization. You see, after World War One, the Carnegie Endowment was tasked with ending war. And they came back in the 30s after a 10-year project and said, this is public knowledge, by the way, folks. The Carnegie Endowment actually runs the CIA, just people that don't know. Mm-hmm. They came out and they said, we're just going to end humanity as you know it and make whatever's left basically a corporate creation like Brave New World. And Huxley, that wrote Brave New World in 31, in 61 before he died, wrote Brave New World Revisited. His brother ran UN, UNESCO, the founder of transhumanism, the former head of the World Eugenics Society, till Hitler gave it a bad name, in his words. He said, no, no, no. Brave New World's what we're actually planning to do, where they engineer the humans and drug the humans and control them.
A Brave New World. And what they tell people is you will own nothing and you'll be happy. And that's even where the gaming comes in. That's where the Grand Theft Auto comes in. That's where the PS3, PS5, PS whatever comes in. Because there are people, again, I say the word useful idiots because that's what the communists told us. That's what the KGB told us. The useful idiots will be there and they will wait until they get in their spot and they're going to line you up against the wall and shoot you. It's the whole thing. I tell my daughters, you can vote your way into communism. You got to shoot your way out, and that's all it is. You vote for socialism, and then your children eat out of dumpsters. And
socialism is always the road to communism.
Every single time. And you'll hear these people say, well, they just didn't do it right. So Pol Pot didn't do it right. Stalin didn't do it right. Hitler didn't do it right. This is ridiculous. I can't believe that I send my daughters to college and they're learning from college professors this ridiculous nonsense, and yet they say, well, we just didn't do it right. No, they did it exactly the way it was supposed to be. So, you've wake up and learn. I mean, everything from the founding fathers, racists, Columbus, to all this. Look, everyone had slaves. That's just the way it worked. And I don't agree with it, but we weren't the only ones that did it. And it's such an issue that they're like, America's bad, you're bad. If Thomas Jefferson looked at 2% tax, he might have been happy with what's happening now. They're taxing us on what we should make soon. You think of future gains, are they going to give us money back if we don't make that money?
No,
of course we're not. But it's every single thing. All the government does, all this government does, is they use fear and they use war. They use fear of war, and that's it. And that's what the military industrial complex keeps making money. And I used to believe in mom, apple pie, and the United States. But I'm my eyes are open now. And I'm
that's my question, because it's an interesting process. You're so busy in the military, Navy SEALs, all these missions, commanding all this stuff. So what was the time date? Was it a quick shift or a slow process when you said, oh, my God, the culture itself's under attack?
I think Liz Cheney helped me out because when in 2003, they used the Iraq war. They pushed it on us because of 9/11, because here we are and we can push you. So at that time, when I was like 27, 26 years old, I would have invaded anybody. And I went to war with Iraq. But now that I look back on it, what was Dick Cheney was in charge, by the way. It wasn't George Bush. What can Dick Cheney do? Well, Halliburton. How many billions of dollars can Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney make? And a guy like Donald Trump comes and says, hey, this is messed up. And then you got like Nikki Haley bitching about you. I've been to Ukraine. The first time I went to Ukraine was 1998, and I've worked for a corrupt government, and that was fun.
Nikki Haley can't find her ass with both hands, but she's the big war general now.
Well, all of them. Look at the Democrats. They're warmongers. We got to do this. And they say defend democracy. We just had a coup in this country and two assassination attempts on Donald Trump. That is, first of all, we're a republic. We're not a democracy. A democracy is when you vote on every single issue. As a republic, we vote for people that do all this stuff. But you get people like the Cheneys in there who have been career politicians. Dick Cheney sent me to. I've killed so many people in Iraq, and I wonder why now. Well, it's because Dick Cheney sent us there. It's because George Bush said, well, we got to go.
And then it radicalized the Muslims more, and they opened the door and brought them in.
I'll tell you what, Alex, I'm not even kidding you. I've been in houses before where I've killed a guy in front of his two kids, and I've wondered to myself, now, did I kill a terrorist, or did I just make two more? And I think about this every single day. Those two young kids, they're going to hate me, and I'm never going to talk about it because I went in there and I killed this guy because he grabbed a gun. The reason he grabbed a gun is because I was in his house. The reason I was in his house is because George Bush and Dick Cheney said I should be there. We should never have been in Iraq, and I've been there.
Whereas if you were here and people were invading, you'd have fought too.
I'm telling you that. Seriously, It doesn't matter which flag you fly. When you go to a certain spot, you're an invader. And we shouldn't have been there. We should never go. And again, like I said, I was all about the war in Iraq. I'm not now. But guys like Dick Cheney, they'll sit out there and like, well, you know, we should have. This Dick Cheney can't go hunting without shooting his friend in the sucks. The whole family sucks. And I've lost so many friends. I have so many friends that died in the war in Iraq because of him.
And his daughter had the lowest voting rate ever. Mm-hmm. And that was a referendum on her in that fake committee of January 6th. It's now coming out in Congress that, like we said, and the inspector general admitted it's in the report, but he's not releasing it until after the election, that the feds were all over the place on January 6th. Well, I was there. I tried to stop it.
I remember that.
And the feds broke in the windows, and they would fake arrest him, and it's on video, and then take the handcuffs off.
How many people were arrested that weren't even there? And that
a lot.
January 6th was – that's a fluke. That's a fluke's not even a good word. That was planned. That was the feds doing whatever to get people. They're calling us terrorists. Some of my friends that work at Fox News, they were called terrorists. They're on a terrorist watch list. They went down there in part of the National Guard because the feds said they should be.
Own reporter, Owen Schroer, that had worked here before he was put in jail for 4 months or 3.5 months, they put in the indictment he should be charged with perjury because in the interviews before they indicted him, he said, I was with Alex Jones. I'm a reporter. They said, no, you went in the Capitol, which you never did. And they said, you don't work there. That's a lie. The guy had been on air here for 6-7 years.
But even if you did go into the people's house, whatever.
The point is they even lie in court. People think like the courts are so, you know, well, people know they're corrupt now, but they literally put him in prison and said, no, Jones is a reporter and Jones didn't go in and Jones did try to stop it. But this guy's with him. He's a reporter with me on a bullhorn saying don't go in, too. They just disregard all that and put him in jail.
Well, I mean, look at the pipe bombs. Who set those up? Look at the
vice. It's now come out as the feds.
The vice president. Yeah. The vice president was there. Well, I wasn't. Yes, you were there. And it's so insulting as I even tell people right now, I never fought for this country. I fought for the guy next to me. The people that I went to war with, we were there because a lot of these politicians follow the money, sent us to different places.
And back there, there wasn't an independent media that had any reach.
Well,
so
we just believed
it. It was an echo chamber.
We just believed it. Yeah, it was an echo chamber. Seriously. I mean, even look at Colin Powell, great general, a great diplomat. And he bought into that nonsense, too. And we were just so eager to go to war. And that's all the Bush administration did was push us. And then we kept doing it over and over. And I mean, even the Obama administration and part of the Trump administration.
What is your expert view? And again, we have the author of The Operator, Firing the Shots That Killed Osama Bin Laden in My Years as a SEAL Team Warrior, Robert O'Neill. What is your view? And that's a complex issue, but we got like 7 minutes to break or 6 minutes. Because this could cause World War III, the Russians, I'm sure you know.
Right now, what we're looking at is Israel has finally taken they're in the saddle. They're on the horse. Because the two countries that are against complete communism are Israel, against the World Economic Forum, you brought that up, against the deep state, is Israel and the United States. Right now, we're lost. Israel, you saw what they just did with the pagers. That Israel's saying, you know what? F it. We got this. So they're proving that they're in the supply line. That not only, like, look at how cool that was with the pagers. They know damn well that once they hit that thing, dudes will pick the pagers up and look at it, then they blow their face off or they blow their sex organs off. That Israel is now taking the charge, and that's all we got left. Hezbollah, it's all about Iran, but Iran's being pushed. Russia, China, Iran, it's all there, and it's because there's no deterrence. We have deterrence, forward alliance solidarity, forward defense. That's all we have. We've lost all of that simply because we left Afghanistan too early. Everyone hates us. No one's afraid of us, and no one even knows that Joe Biden is the president right now. Did you know that? He's the president.
He even came out yesterday and said that Kamala's been running things for 4 years.
No, not a chance. Jill has.
So, but why were there no big wars with Trump, and now it's all popping off? And what's your view on Ukraine?
Deterrence. Ukraine. The reason that they hate Trump is because he's about to show people what is going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is dirty. Ukraine is nasty. Some of the best minerals and resources are there in Ukraine, and everyone's fighting for it right now. And that's like, why does Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer want to go to war? They're war hawks now. Lindsey Graham, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they want to go to war. How crazy is it that we say every time there's an assassination attempt? There's been two in the last few months. That's nonsense. But they're just like, oh yeah, well that just happens. They're worried that Donald Trump will come in self-funded and show us.
I totally agree.
Not only what's going on in Ukraine, what happened with Kennedy. What the only state that's still alive from the Kennedy assassination is the deep state, and Trump will show us what it is. They're afraid of that. Why?
He's definitely a maverick. You know, you can disagree with him on issues, and I do on some, but he is his own man. You can't buy him, and he does love this country. And I want to talk about the assassination attempt when we come back next segment, because you're a real expert on things like that. But looking at this, the U.S. government under Obama overthrew the Ukrainian government, had a proxy war with the Russians. I didn't think the Russians should have invaded. That's not right either. And I went on Russian TV and told them that. And they were like, Mr. Jones, we're not invading. And I'm like, yeah, you are. And then all that happens, and then now it's escalated. But then NATO was covertly trying to get Ukraine to join. So I can see why Russia's pissed off that all these armies are on their border. But at the same time then, it's a disaster.
Russia should be pissed off.
Yeah. So what do you think Trump will do? Because Trump says he'll end this day one. The U.S. pays for 90% of it. I think he can.
He's going to be the adult in the room. He's basically everything from the Malaysian flight that went away. I'm convinced that was a shot at China. Don't mess with us. That's sixth generation war. That's all we got, though, because it's not the Biden administration running this. This is a lot of people in the House or whatever. But the thing with Russia, China, Taiwan, North Korea, Trump will come in and he will say, all right, everyone, stand up as I sit down. I'm the adult in the room. Everyone knock it off, which they will. But right now, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, they've got until January 20th of next year. And they know it. It's coming. But the Malaysia flight, too, was one shot at China saying knock it off.
I'm really concerned with 39 days left of whoever runs the Biden administration, the think tanks, the bureaucrats, starting a war, because I saw the Pentagon back during the whole Syria thing say, hey, we're not going to attack the Russians. That's World War III. And then the Congress is like, we'll stop them. And they're like, well, that goes right, escalates quickly, nuclear war. Plus, we're not going to really try to fight here on the side of ISIS. Now I don't hear those generals getting up saying we need to de-escalate this. Biden was saying 2 years ago, de-escalate. Now they're not. It seems like crazy people are running things.
Well, look at the strike group that we got headed over to either the Arabian Gulf or the Persian Gulf, whichever way you want to say it. That's just how we're doing it. So we're sending all these things over there. We're sending all these the navies. We have the strongest navy in the world, but they're sending them over there to send a message. Again, war's coming. And I don't even know who the hell's in charge. I think it's the House Armed Services Committee, maybe. Someone's got to be making a call.
Yeah, the Secretary of Defense is like sick for months at home. No one even tells him where he's at.
He went to get whatever surgery for how many months, didn't tell anybody. And he acted like he couldn't even delegate authority. Tell the Assistant Secretary of Defense, hey, I'm going to be out of the office, by the way, for 6 months. No, didn't say anything.
For people that don't know, that's the guy of all the time there's a missile launch. It's not a missile launch. We almost go to nuclear war. Reagan was like up 20 hours a day because he was always having to deal with that. Imagine they're just all asleep at the switch.
Well, I mean, you got to figure, too, the way that it works with the football. So the football you carry around, and that's got the codes in. People behind him. And they'll be 7 minutes late simply because he didn't want them going through Delaware with this suitcase. Like, dude, we seriously, potentially, might be going to nuclear war. And nuclear war, I don't think people realize nuclear
war. Imagine, that's a box that can end the world, and he's not even worried about it.
7 minutes. 7 minutes. And it's not just Russia launching someone else. This is India looking at China. This is another nuclear power. One missile, and everyone else is launching.
Robert O'Neill, stay right there. I want you to come back because you're an expert on this, and I've read all this and studied it too, but I don't ever really explain this. We need to. It's not, you just said, it's not just the U.S. and Russia. It's India and Pakistan and China and North Korea and then all the other states that have nukes. And the word is Saudi Arabia's got them. I'm told Iran's at them, but not delivery systems. So let's talk about that when we come back and the massive proliferation and how crazy this is. Then we'll talk about the assassination attempts on Trump, this bounty of, you know, five groups here trying to kill him. And so much more with Robert J. O'Neill. You can find him at robertjoneill.com. You can get his number one best-selling book, The Operator. Be sure and check that out. I actually read that years ago. It's still very timely. You should get it today. I've been on air for 30-plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials, all an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda, 21 and global agenda
2030. Literal world government, total censorship, Internet of Things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. The WEF says officially the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now I see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated to pay the family their $1.5 billion or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if Patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. thealexjonesstore.com, drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
We saw and talked to, whether they were in uniform, out of uniform, school teachers, even children. This extraordinary courage that's come up, and it was in his eyes, and it is clear to me that the Ukrainians will win this. The question is, at what cost?
Did they have, in those early hours, I know that Trump gave them javelins, I know that they had some defenses, but if you go back to the Budapest Agreement, they were, at the time, the third largest nuclear power in the world. Mm. And they made an agreement that they'd give those weapons to Russia to be destroyed in exchange for protection from Russia, Great Britain, and the U.S. lesson to be learned here, don't give up your nuclear weapons if you have them, because you can't believe people like Vladimir Putin.
Well, even countries that have nuclear weapons can remain intimidated to use them. And we're seeing that now with our own country. And I fear what that legacy is going to be. We don't want, no one wants to see a nuclear conflict.
I don't want to see one. Nobody
does. At the same time, if only one bully is going to be able to use those weapons as a threat, we got to rethink what we're doing.
See, I think the West made a mistake in this buildup that Putin, as he brought in 10,000.
Well, Robert J. O'Neill, famous Navy SEAL, run major operations. You're bringing up the facts on this. Why don't you explain to folks that it's not just U.S. versus Russia, that in almost every war game I've read, in fact, everyone, they never use one or two. It's not like we bombed Japan and nobody else had them. It instantly escalates in almost every scenario to total commitment worldwide, end of life as we know it.
Well, yeah, Alex, that's the way that it works. And we deal with Pakistan or India or Israel or China. People with nuclear weapons, they don't understand that if one gets launched, they're all going to get launched in a matter of 7 minutes. And I live in New York, and I remember watching they had these stupid public service announcements where they would say, hey, go into the middle of a building and duck and cover, and you got this, New York. No, you don't got this, New York. You don't understand what's going to happen. If one nuclear weapon gets launched with nuclear powers, life as you know it is over. It doesn't matter what the Kardashians are doing. It doesn't matter what you see on social media. Can you start a fire? Do you know how to use celestial navigation? Can you live? Like I've had neighbors of mine say, what are you going to do if there's nuclear war? And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat you. That's it. Like this, life as you know it is over. And people just, they don't quite realize what's at stake here. And it's not simply just Democrats, Republicans. This is the end of everything, as you know it.
And there's been a lot of graphic simulations of cities being blown up. Guys, show people some simulations of what a nuke hitting a city looks like. Keep going, sorry.
And it's not just one. One's not going to hit you. You're going to get hit by 30 of them. It's like when we do war games with China, it's like, well, yeah, our aircraft carrier battle group was here and they missed us with one of their anti-ship missiles. Cool. They missed you with one. How about 10,000 of them? Did they hit you with one of those? Yes. I don't understand why it's so difficult for people to understand that we are so close to being at war at the worst kind. Someone that's been to war, I've been to war a lot. Over 400 combat missions in 120 degree heat in some of the worst environments imaginable. And I hate war. I'm not a warmonger. I'm a registered independent. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. But you need to start taking this seriously. Do you care about your kids? Do you care about your neighbors? What is wrong with you? It's that simple. And you get guys like Joe Biden who can't even put a damn sentence together, and Kamala Harris who can't put a damn sentence together. And it's all because, well, I vote Democrat. You have no idea what you're doing. Take your head out of your butt and come on, man.
Meanwhile, the Democrats are financing all these movies about civil war where a Trumpian figure gets killed. And we have all these Democrat leaders like Jamie Raskin saying, if Trump wins, we're going to have a civil war. And then we're not going to certify his vote, what they claim Trump did, but he didn't. When you're seeing all that talk and former CIA, you know, chiefs over assassinations like Mudd on TV saying the government's going to kill this guy. It just seems like real wild-eyed hubris.
Well, they've tried. They've already tried to kill him twice. And the deep state's worried about that. They're so worried about Donald Trump that they're trying to kill him. They indicted him, how many, 34, whatever. They're trying to take him off the ballot, take RFK Jr. off the ballot. This is what they do. This is what communists do. And this is what the Stasi did in East Germany. And this, can you believe even a couple years ago during the lockdown, I don't say the pandemic, I say the government-run lockdown, we had NYPD running house to house, knocking on doors saying, where are the Jews? I never thought I would see that since the 40s, but they did it, and they're still doing it. And this is communism. This is fascism. And what they do is admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. These communists are doing it, and then we get blamed. Then we're the problem. We're the people that flew into DCA on one day, and all of a sudden we're the bad guys. This is nuts. And it's all because, again, follow the money. The government's afraid of losing their power, afraid of losing their money. They're going to throw you in jail because of it. That's it. It's that simple. I'm seeing it happen. I can't believe I'm seeing it in real time, but this is what's happening.
I totally agree. I'm sending the crew some clips of nukes blowing up city simulations that have been done by the Pentagon and others. Here's one I just sent them. And those are simulations of a strike on Russia.
Wait and see.
We have simulations of strike on the U.S. And again, I'm somebody that, just because it's so interesting, read all the nuclear doctrine and hydrogen bomb doctrine from the 50s up till now, and it's all been so wargamed, they know. And then now I see these statements like, oh, a nuclear war is winnable, or we can do it, or we can hit Russia, or they can hit us. But they know that that's not the case. So no, they say, well, Russia won't cross a red line. Where do you think that comes from, this new attitude?
Nobody wins a nuclear war. That we all lose. But the scary thing is, a nuclear weapon was the most powerful thing we had in the 50s. That is not the most powerful weapon we have right now. We're talking fifth, sixth generations. I'm talking about weapons where China can drive a vehicle by your house and microwave you. And what they will do is they'll flip the switch, and it will melt part of your skin off. So you wish you were dead. This is real stuff.
Neutron bomb. By the way, you're talking, this is a recent thing from 2 years ago where they explained that if you're under nuclear attack, check the internet. None of that's going to be on.
Gone.
You're going to be dead.
Everything that you know is gone. The battery in your iPhone is gone. Your car won't start. An EMP is everything.
Oh, they say get inside. Even if you're on the edge of the blast range, you want to get in. You want to get in a culvert.
Inside of what?
You want to get in this. You want to get the closest thing to a bunker would be in a culvert.
There's nothing. There's nothing there. The best thing you do is find one of the sewers in Manhattan and climb in there. That's it.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do.
A building's going to fall on you. That's the last place
it's gonna implode. And people don't realize this because they're too busy playing Grand Theft Auto. Nobody, this is very, very real. It's very, very scary. The only reason China hasn't invaded Taiwan yet is because we showed them with that Malaysian flight that we can do this still. We just don't have a leader yet.
But yeah, let me just tell the crew, because I sent them some nuclear detonation simulations, say nuke city simulation. It all just comes up. Yeah, there they are.
Yep.
I mean, these are small ones, what they do, versus some of the biggest that have been detonated, where one bomb would blow up all of New York and surrounding areas.
Yeah,
all of it.
New York's not a big city. It's a tall city. But you set one off, and you got to figure, too, it won't just be one. A lot of these people, a lot of these Islamic...
Explain the MIRV technology. Go ahead.
But just the way it'll be is you get one dude that wants a mansion with 72 rooms with a virgin in each, and he's going to blow himself up. He gets it. These are fanatics that believe this. Get one of them. Get 10 of them. Get 20 of them. They go to New York. They go to Philly. Actually, that might improve Philly. But I'm just saying, this is a bad, bad day.
And again, just the bombs we dropped on Japan would destroy all of Lower Manhattan.
Oh, those are
as it goes up, the Chinese detonated one, and so did the Russians, that would blow up basically all of New York State.
Yeah, yeah, the entire place. And life as you know it will be gone, and it's so easy to not do that. But if you follow the money, you follow the power, you follow the Clintons, you follow people like that, Xi Jinping, they're not afraid of this because they're on a different level of personal power, personal everything, and that's these are the people in charge, and it's never changed. That's right.
They had communist Chinese leaders. I think it was Deng Xiaoping. It was a couple of them. They said, "Look, we got a 500 million people. If you kill 80% of them, that helps us. We're ready for war." Yeah. And now that they're 1 billion and 400 million.
Well, I mean, they're running out of people too. The too many people are getting old. They don't have the infrastructure for it too. But that's not going to stop them. Look at Xi Jinping.
Look, they're getting up to the 1960s style ones.
And that is a nothing bomb right there. That is nothing. We've got nuclear submarines off the coast of Russia right now, off the coast of China right now. That's maybe half a bomb. They got 60 of these each sub, and then you've got redundancy.
100 megaton.
Well, they've got different warheads on different bombs. So not only do you have that nuclear sub, you've got five other nuclear subs for redundancy in case one needs to launch and they get taken out by a different sub. Then these ones are going to launch. Like this, our submarines. The only people that would live are the sailors on the submarine, and then thank God they're co-ed now, because at least we'll have men and women to rebuild this world.
Totally insane.
I don't like thinking about it. It's not like I'm having fun talking about this. I really wish.
No, it makes me start laughing like you're laughing because you're concerned. It's like a joke. Yeah. It's so sick.
I joined the Navy on accident. I thought it'd be fun. And now it's like, holy crap, this is real stuff.
All right. So you've got real sniper expertise. Tell people a little bit of that. And then we talked days after they tried to kill Trump. You had big concerns. Now there's basically a consensus that was a stand down. Totally insane. Now we got a whistleblower from the Secret Service in Mar-a-Lago 2.5 weeks ago. That there was a deliberate stand down, even with this less security. The guy was in the woods 12 hours.
12 hours. In a bush. So, 12 hours in a bush. As a counter sniper, the first time I did counter sniper ops was in Albania in 1998. I was protecting the president of Albania and some generals and admirals. And like the day one stuff that you do is here's a bush. let's guard the bush. Not that hard. And so even on the first assassination attempt, I can't believe I'm saying that.
You ask yourself, where would it be for me to kill this guy?
Right. All you got to do as a sniper, put yourself in the position, where's the principal? Cool, here I am now.
And if you were in Butler, wouldn't it have been that closest roof?
Yeah. Which gun am I holding? Where's my minimum safe distance? Now I'm going to cover everything. And they didn't do that. 140 yards, that's a layup. We were talking about my daughters. I could teach my seven-month-old daughter how to take that shot and hit. And this kid missed. And now, get a load of this. The kid missed, and the deep state missed because all they wanted to do, have him kill Trump. They kill him. It's over. That's a grassy knoll. Well, oh, look at that. And that was Iran. Now we got to go to war with Iran. That's what the deep state's doing. That's what the military-industrial complex is doing. And that shot was so easy. You can't miss it. Yet he did. And that kid in a BlackRock commercial and all.
Okay, but you're a real expert sniper on record. So you weren't ready 2 months ago. Now you're ready. Give us your breakdown of what you witnessed, what you saw in Butler.
What we saw was amateurs. If God forbid they hire a real sniper to shoot at Donald Trump, because they'll hit him. That the bush, the way that you set up a sniper hide, you don't hide in a bush. What you do is you find the target, you back off, and you keep different states of shadows and whatnot. And then what you don't want to match what you're in, you want to match what's behind you. That shot is easy. As a sniper, we do that. We do a thing called stalking. We do it over and over and over, and we're shooting at real snipers a couple times a day from maybe 100 to 300 meters out, and it's easy. These are not real snipers. These are not serious people. If they send a serious sniper after Donald Trump, they will kill him. And we need to get away from this nonsense of the Secret Service. No, you need to get Tier 1 operators, SEAL Team 6, Delta Force guys, to be his personal security.
And then he talked about that, but it still hasn't really happened.
They are not serious. The Secret Service is not. It's not that they're not serious. They're in on it. You got to get away
from it.
You need to get real, serious operators. These Secret Service guys are nuts. I don't want to badmouth them because I've met a lot of those guys on the ground. There's a lot of good men and women. The leadership sucks.
It's clear that Ronald Rowe, ran the stand down.
It's a failure in leadership. If I was one of those counter snipers, I would have fired myself. I would have fired everyone on my team. This is nonsense. The fact that we're having the conversation he got this nonsense. That doesn't happen.
Well, listen, I used to be a good shot when I was a kid, but never professionally trained. But I've got compact handguns that I can go out to the range with 100-yard, 4-inch metal targets and fire all 15 rounds. At 100 yards with a handgun.
You're going
to
hit?
With the right ones, like a Staccato from, mm-hmm. ST. You like those guns?
Well, I like Watchtower firearms. I'll tell you
about that. I believe you. I'm going to check them out. I know it's a heavier, but those handguns are incredible.
They're good guns, yeah. But I mean,
Watchtower
firearms, they're the best. We design a gun based on the one I took into Bin Laden's bedroom. The best guns in the world. But with one of those guns, offhand, standing up with one hand, I could have taken that shot 140 yards. Easy. And that kid missed. But he didn't miss. He killed a guy in front of his family. That's a failure. That's a failure.
But so the consensus I've gotten is total stand down, 90 minutes on the ground, bike, bag, rangefinder, and then 20-something minutes on the roof. And then there's Trump talking, and he's crawling along, and they're going, gun, gun. And now we learn it wasn't the Secret Service reportedly shot him. It was the cops.
And then the Secret Service blamed the local cops, which I think is nonsense too. And I'm a huge proponent of law enforcement. And I always tell people every time I got arrested, I deserved it because I think I love law enforcement. But then the Secret Service has the gall to blame the cops. Like, well, why weren't you doing why weren't you doing that?
The Secret Service refused to even sync radios.
No, nothing. Everyone's communication. The effective communication is the key to winning anything. And the Secret Service, what were they sending? Text? What was that?
By the way, CNN hadn't covered a live rally in over a year.
How about that? I remember I was, for some weird reason, I was watching a celebrity pro-am golf event on NBC. And just because I want to get away from it all. And all of a sudden they go to Trump's thing. I'm like, well, this is weird. Why are they covering? Then boom, shots. Oh, they knew it was coming. Who told them? Who was in on this? Is it incompetence? Is someone's in on it? It's not that hard. It's either incompetence or an inside job. That's it. It's not that hard.
And then it happens again.
And it's going to happen again.
But the Secret Service agent said, I worked there. Senator Hawley hasn't. We're always in the woods. We always check that spot. We actually check that spot every hour. 12 hours he's there.
That's nonsense. And Senator Hawley, too, he's doing a great job, too. But you need to get off your ass. Come on. Are you kidding me right now? Why is there an investigation or a strongly written letter?
Well, you alluded to this, and I said it 2 days after it happened, and they started pushing it a few days after that. If they start saying Iran's going to kill Trump, that's the cover for the deep state, service-to-air missile, anything.
Did you notice that as soon as there was an assassin, the second assassination attempt, Lindsey Graham came out and said it was Iran.
Yep.
Yeah. You know why? Because he gets a lot of money from war. It wasn't Iran.
Let me ask you this, and you're going to come back and someday, whenever you want, you come down here, you can host a show for 3 hours, two hours, whatever you want. We should do a podcast commercial free for like 3 hours. It's all the stories you could tell. I talked to some of the folks when it happened, and I had other people say, no, Bin Laden already died. They had him on ice. Some people said, well, it was a body double, but you guys were going in there. You went into a fortified deal by the military base, Pakistan. It looks like Bin Laden. You shoot him. You wrote in a book about it. You told the story.
Yeah.
And I believe you shot him. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
No worries.
But then we had the, whatever happened there with the helicopter blowing up and all the classified helicopter. And then months later, you have all these Navy SEALs with no real mission. They're told, you're the expert here, packed on a helicopter. It flies out and blows up. A lot of people, including families I talked to, thought they were getting rid of folks that were involved in your raid without getting into all the secret stuff. What really happened?
Well, those weren't the guys involved. That was Gold Squadron. We were Red Squadron. They were not involved with the mission. That was a troop from a different team that went on a mission that I personally think they shouldn't have gone on. Nobody from the Bin Laden raid was involved with that.
So that was wrong in the media.
That was wrong. They kind of just wanted a story. It was Red Squadron SEAL Team 6 that went in for Bin Laden, and then Gold Squadron went after a different guy, and I'm not going to talk about him. And it was a lucky shot, and it sucks to say it, but it was what it was. I mean, even after
that RPG at the helicopter,
RPG, yeah. I mean, it did with Turbine 3-3. Those were missiles that get shot. And one of the things that I've learned, especially being at war as much as I have, I always tell people, don't die because you got bored. Don't go on a stupid mission. Don't take shortcuts. I honestly think that Extortion 17 was a shortcut. They shouldn't have gone on it. It had nothing to do with Bin Laden. And even on the Bin Laden raid, when we got that, because that was definitely a mall Bin Laden. It was definitely Osama Bin Laden. But I've talked to some of my friends afterwards, and we've over a beer or two, we've talked about just talking about it.
Well, you were there, and you're incredible. A lot of people that know you, they say you're a really incredible guy. Describe it. It's in the book, but describe what he looked like. Did he realize you were about to kill him?
Yeah. When we went up the final set of stairs, it was me and one of the Navy SEAL. There was a point man in front of me. We're going up the last set of steps. And what he was saying to me, he didn't know it was me. He knew it was one of his guys. And he's like, we got to go. And I had my hand on his shoulder as the two men. And what my job is to tell him it's time to go. When he said, what he was saying to me is, those are the suicide bombers. We got to do it. And I remember before I squeezed him, I was saying, it's not bravery. I got to get it over with. I'm tired of thinking about it. And I squeezed him. And he went up the stairs. And at the top of the third set of stairs, he moved this set of curtains. And he jumped on these three women that he thought were suicide bombers. And how he doesn't have a Medal of Honor right now, I don't know. I will advocate for him to get it, but just simply because...
That's why you guys had cameras or probes that looked
like...
We didn't have anything.
How
did you think they were suicide bombers?
They got to be. They've got to be. Bin Laden's going to blow himself up. We've seen these leaders do this. And because he went up there and he went this way, simply because he went this way, I went that way. And it wasn't bravery. I turned, and here's this guy who's 6'4". He's got his hands on Amal's, his wife's shoulders. I'm looking at him. I'm like, okay, he's taller than I thought. He's skinnier than I thought. His beard is gray. He's not surrendering. He's a threat. I got to take the shot. So I shot him twice. I moved Amal, shot him again. And I pulled her out of the way, knowing other Navy SEALs are coming in the room. And the humanity of it, too. The combat comes down to certain points. And I don't care who you are. I looked down at his son, Hussein, who's a two-year-old kid and is a father. I looked at him and I was like, this kid has nothing to do with this. I remember moving him and then I pushed him towards the bed. Other Navy SEALs came in the room and I turned around. I can hear Osama Bin Laden taking his last breath. I can see the steam coming out of his head because I just shot him three times.
Where'd you shoot him in the head?
Three times in the face. And one of my buddies came up to me and he's trying to get me back to Earth. He goes, are you good? And I said, I'm good. What do we do now? And he goes, now we find the computers. You do this every night, hundreds of times. Come on, brother. And I said, yeah, you're right. Holy crap, I'm back. And he goes, yeah, you just killed Osama Bin Laden. Your life just changed. Get to work.
Wow.
That's my guys.
So you kind of went, whoa. And
it was one of those. It was a moment. But he brought me back. And he's like, okay, cool. Let's get our stuff. Let's get this body. Let's call a helicopter. We can live. Now we can live.
Why would they throw in the ocean and not create like a shrine?
I disagreed with that. I was telling that from day one. The way that these Wahhabi Sunnis work, they don't worship a false idol. That's why there's always the issues with drawing Muhammad. You don't worship a false idol. And I told them you can bury him, whatever. They said, we don't want a shrine. I disagreed. They threw him in the... And now I wasn't there. So technically, I didn't see him get thrown in the ocean. So who knows? Maybe he's in some betadine in Langley. I don't know. But that's exactly what he looked like right there. A little bit gray beard, and I shot him three times in the eyebrows.
What do you think about how he reportedly was one of the leaders of the Mujahideen working for the CIA earlier?
Well, he did. I mean, we were fighting Russia. So obviously we're giving them Stinger missiles. We do that. Like everyone says, he was an asset. Of course he was. Like everyone's an asset. We're Russia. It's always Russia. It's always Russia. And we're fighting with the Muslims from that part of the world.
Proxy war.
Until it doesn't fit us, and then they attack us, or did they attack us? And then we someone's making money. Dick Cheney's making a lot of money off that.
You've been telling me about. I think I've heard you talk about it. But is it private? All the detox stuff you've done? Because you look great.
Thank you. Yeah,
I mean, you look bad when I saw you on TV 10 years ago, but you actually look younger or something. You're wearing a hat that says DMT. What's DMT, going on there?
Well, I got into psychedelics and plant-based medicine because I was mentioning earlier about the PTSD that comes with killing people in front of their families. And the further you get away from it, the more it kind of sinks in. And so I started getting into Ibogaine is my favorite, but then DMT, the hat that I'm wearing, and then psilocybin. And then MDMA, and all that does is I'm trying to get it legalized, not legal like buying weed.
Decriminalized.
Well, get
medicalized.
Can a doctor give it to you?
Medicalized.
I shouldn't need to go to Costa Rica to get Ibogaine. And the way that Ibogaine works is you go in there and it's 50 hours of straight hell. You see the devil and he gives you a tour of your soul and you cry and you like. I went through recently with a couple sergeants major from Delta Force and Green Berets, and we hated it. And then we did the DMT afterward, and all of a sudden you see God. And you know what it does? It teaches you to forgive yourself. It teaches you to love yourself. What I did, I didn't do it for the government. I did it from the man and woman next to me.
Yeah, I got invited by a very famous Delta Force commander because they're actually doing it in Arizona. It's like a quasi-government facility, but I just didn't do it. They were having some astronauts, other people. It was very nice. They invited me. It was a very serious invitation to take it because, you know, they're doing it secretly in the U.S.
Yes.
It's a government. I mean, yeah. I was like, I know you guys are good and I have people that know you and you say you want to help me. Tell you're drinking, Jones. You need to do this.
You should be able to do it. DMT is, so Ibogaine is about 50 hours. DMT is about 3 minutes. And the thing with DMT is the first time I did DMT,
this they were doing is it's like a cocktail of like a day.
Well, yeah, we do Ibogaine, Reiki, DMT, one after another, and we have medical experts giving it to us. And the first time I did DMT, I asked my wife, she was there with me. I said, "How many hours was I out?" And she said, 2 minutes. Because all it does is it I think that DMT, and you have to do it to understand it. I'm convinced you see, I call it the God molecule. You see it when you're born, you see it when you die, and that's it. But when you take DMT,
it opens the dimensions.
I'll tell you what, you go in there, and the only way I can describe DMT, the last time I took it, I saw my grandparents, I saw my dead relatives, and all it said, it was speaking to me in a language I couldn't understand, but I knew what they were saying. And all this maternal voice was saying is, you don't need to miss anything. Everything you've been told was wrong, and welcome home. And it's just, and literally, wake up crying. I'm just so happy to be here.
See, I haven't ever taken it because I have dreams like that already.
It's incredible. I'll do it with you. If you want to do it, you and I will go down there. We'll take DMT together. I can set it up today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. You'll love it. You'll cry and you'll hug me. It's amazing.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm not scared of much. For some reason, I'm scared of it.
It's amazing. No, you see God. I wish I could describe it.
I don't know how to see the devil first, though.
Well, the thing, you know what the DMT...
Right, I'm about to see myself. Hold on. Wait. Quick break. Let's do a few more minutes. Here we go. Okay. I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the alexjonesstore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, that's key to support, into the future, whatever happens here. 30-plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it, thealexjonesstore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30-plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day, into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced, the winner, and a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over the top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features, and then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour, the best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel, army green, black with red pinstripe, ready for you. When you buy something, you entered 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at thealexjonesstore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air. And these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at thealexjonesstore.com. They're designer, they're high quality. They're all there. Some of the InfoWars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new, incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, these are great shirts. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. Thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.